Among those conditions, the first one I mentioned was that traveling should not be for the sake of haram. Now, there are little details, as I had promised. I will talk about some little details about this. So now, now, if a person travels for haram, if the travel is for haram, then it has, let me write for, the travel is for doing a haram or the travel itself is haram. These are two possible situations which we need to be clear about. The condition of traveling for the qasr prayers, shortened prayers. So when we are traveling, we need to make sure that the travel is for none of these two things. Travel should not be for doing a haram, or travel should not be, and also the travel should not be itself a haram in the Sharia. For doing a haram, example, stealing. For example, somebody wants to go to steal, watching a haram movie, etc. There are so many examples. Travel should not, it should itself not be haram. The example for that is when a parent, father or mother, stops you from going in cases where it's not wajib to go. In the case where it is wajib to go, they cannot stop you. For example, you have to perform a wajib hajj. You are mustati, you are capable. When you are mustati and capable, you have to go. No one has a right to stop you. The husband doesn't have the right to stop the wife. The wife doesn't have the right to stop the husband. Mother cannot stop the son. The father cannot stop the son. No one can stop anyone because it's wajib from Allah to go for hajj. So in the cases where it's not wajib, if it is wajib, we have to go. In the cases where it's not wajib, if one of the parents, like father or mother, stops you from going, obviously, you have to obey them. You cannot go. If you go, it's haram. If you go, you're, in addition to being haram, you have to also pray full prayers. Wife, second example, wife going out without husband's izn. Izn means the prior permission. See. So, if traveling is harmful means a significant harm. If this traveling has a significant harm on you, it's not allowed in Islam to travel. So if traveling is a significant harm, then we cannot travel. Travel itself will not be allowed. So likewise, a travel which causes riot, means torture or pain to parents. Any travel that causes aziyat or torture or pain to the parents is not allowed.
Is there any restriction on A and B?
Age restriction? No.
The kids could be 70 years old and that their parents are not.
It doesn't matter. There is no age restriction for the children. At all. Like myself. And you know, we mentioned those examples in the Salatul Jama'at already. If your father stops you from going to the masjid, but going to masjid is not wajib in Islam, it's mustahab, but it's not wajib. You know, you go to the masjid for participating in Salatul Jama'at, for example. Praying in Salatul Jama'at, congregational prayers, is mustahab and recommended. It's not wajib. So if the father stops you, you have to obey. You cannot go. You mustahab things we have to drop if the father stops you or the mother stops you. So those examples we mentioned, talked about that already. Another thing to remember is that this travel also includes the case when a person changes his mind in the middle of the travel. So in the middle of the travel, the person changed his mind to do a haram. For example, he's now made the intention to go for a movie theater to watch a haram movie. Initially, when he came out of the house, he didn't have that intention. So in the middle of his travel, from that point onwards, when he continues his travel, he has to pray full, because now he has the intention of doing a haram. Now onwards, all the rest of the prayers in his traveling will be full, not qasr, because his intention is now doing a haram. Sightseeing. Or tourism. If somebody goes out for the sake of sightseeing or tourism, that's okay in Islam. It's not haram. You know, you have to pray qasr. So don't consider that to be a haram. Now, in the discussion of travel, we also have to keep in mind about hunting. Someone can go out and travel for the sake of hunting, fishing. So hunting of any animal, birds, fishes, whatever, if it for the sake of fun hunting, fun fishing, obviously, it's not allowed in Islam, first of all. And when it's not allowed, then your prayers will be full. So you have to pray full prayers. We don't do fun hunting. We don't hunt any animal except for two reasons, for eating a halal meat animal, so it has to be a halal meat animal, so you can eat it. And obviously, the rulings for hunting are special. That will apply. We will come to the chapter, and we will discuss how to hunt or, you know, for the sake of eating a halal meat animal. For fishing, you know, if you want to fish for the sake of eating a halal fish, that's allowed, but not for the sake of fun. You go for fishing, and then you take the fish out, you catch it, and then you throw it back. This is not allowed in Islam. So this is obviously a torture to the fish. Islam has much more higher animal rights than any other system.
But if you go for the fun and you end up eating the fish, you plan to go deer hunting, but your intention is that you're going to consume it, but it's still a fun trip, not necessarily a requirement or need.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, for the sake, if your niyat is that, if you hunt, you will eat it, that's okay, for go for that. This, even sightseeing and tourism is okay in Islam, but for fun means you waste it. You're not intending to consume the halal meat animal or the fish. So we don't hunt or kill any animal except if it's a halal meat animal to consume it or for the sake of our defense.
Consuming
means you can give it to someone else. Yeah, you can. Hunt a halal meat animal and then give it to someone else. That's good. Yeah, eating, and that's it. Whether you eat or you give it to some other mu'min. No, we don't hunt for the sake of, you know, if it's a halal meat animal, that's where you eat the meat. You're not going to throw the meat anyway. That will be israf. And obviously, it's not allowed to kill, you know, unnecessarily. So you, when it's a halal meat animal, you won't waste it. That will be israf. So you have to either eat yourself or give it to someone else. Now, leather, you can obviously use it. For a non-halal meat animal, for that reason, now, it's a... allowed to, it's allowed to, yeah. Now the thing is that, it's allowed to use in our everyday life those of the leathers which are not haram, which are najis. It's allowed to use, you know, it's. Depends on the nature of thing that you want to do with it. So, selling of a haram meat animal, if there is a, if you know, selling of ayanun najisa, najis things, or a haram meat animal, if there is a halal benefit in selling is okay. So if there is a halal benefit in that, then it's okay. For example, medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, medicine.
Huh? In this case, it would be okay to hunt like an alligator if you want to use the money.
Yeah. It can happen if you have your own industry or factory, isn't it right? But it's not something done by individuals. You cannot individually. It's very difficult for a person to visualize that you kill an alligator and then you use its skin in a wallet or something, or you make a purse or. Yeah. So yeah, it depends if there is any halal benefit in that. It's okay. Now again, yeah, it's It should not be for the sake of fun only. And just because we like to do it, you know, for the sake of fun, it should not be done.
Is it okay to give the meat to other animals to eat?
Yeah, animals can. You can give meat to the animals for a haram meat animal, but not to any human being. There are some maraje, some mujtahids, who allow it. That you can give halal meat animal which is not slaughtered Islamically to a person who considers it to be halal. I repeat, some mujtahids say that you can give or sell the halal meat animal's meat if the animal is not slaughtered Islamically to those who consider it to be okay to eat.
Like a
goat. If there's a goat died a natural death, you could not slaughter it according to Islamic conditions. Some mujtahids say you can give or sell the meat of that goat because it's a halal meat animal. It's not slaughtered Islamically in this case. You can give it to those who consider it to be halal. But not every, most don't allow that.
But you can't do the same thing with the haram meat, right? Haram meat, you can't
haram meat animal, no, we don't sell it to others. No. Haram meat animal, you know, if even the halal meat animal, if it dies the natural death, or the halal meat animal, or the haram meat animal, if it dies a natural death, the meat is a najis in both the cases. Because it is maita, and a dead maita means a dead animal. And if you remember in the list of najasat, when we studied, there are 11 najis things in Islam. And one of those 11 we studied dead animal. Dead animal's body is najis, even though it may be a goat. Goat's meat is najis if it dies a natural death. Prayers and fasting. If someone travels for the sake of his job, that's fine. That's also one of the possible things that usually happen in our everyday life. So many people, they have to travel for their jobs. That's allowed in Islam. It's not a problem at all. You can travel anytime for the sake of your job. We are coming to that point about the rulings for those who travel. That's probably the next thing. So, yeah. Okay, let me write down there. If somebody travels, now traveling, for work. Now it has several possible scenarios. Somebody whose profession is working. Profession is traveling. For example, a pilot, a truck driver, or, for example, captain of the ship. Isn't it right?
Or the crew ship.
Crew. These are just few examples. You can imagine others. People whose profession itself is travel, like pilot. There are people who have to travel for the sake of profession. Their profession is not travel. They have to travel for the sake of profession. So you are an insurance agent, you are a real estate agent, you are an IT professional, you are an engineer, whatever is your profession, for the sake of your profession, your job sends you, your employer sends you somewhere for some assignment. So here you are traveling for the sake of the profession. So these are two different categories. For the first category, these people always pray full. Plus, they fast during their travels. Now, the first trip, those whose profession is traveling, trip number one, they will pray. When they start the traveling, let's suppose a pilot got the commercial pilot license, CPL. Now, the first trip he will make, he will pray qasr. Second trip and second onwards, he will pray full. Okay? First trip is qasr, shortened prayers, and he cannot fast. Obviously, when it's a shortened prayer, you cannot fast. Second plus is full prayers, and he will fast. Okay? These are for those people. This is the ruling for those people whose profession itself is traveling. First trip ever they would do, they would do it. Again, if suppose he becomes jobless, he sits back home for 5 months. Now that after 5 months he again gets a job of a pilot, first trip he'll pray qasr. Second trip and second onwards, he'll pray full. Okay, because he did a gap now again, he will do the same. Now, coming to those people who travel for the sake of their profession is not traveling. Likewise, another common thing that some people, do a business of like cab business or limousine business in a season only, seasonally. Let's suppose in the vacation season, in Christmas season, for example. So this guy only drives a cab or limousine in the month of December only. So in the month of December, he'll apply this ruling. For the rest of the 11 months, he will not apply this ruling. Okay? So first trip is qasr, second trip is full, and second plus is full. After gaps, yes.
So, what's the definition of profession?
These are my examples. Those people whose profession itself includes traveling, This one, the profession, for example, a person is an IT professional. His profession is web development, whatever, His profession is not, traveling. He may be required for the sake of developing the website to travel to a city, but the profession itself is not traveling. That's not his expertise. This person, his expertise and his job and his work itself is to travel. Isn't it right? Likewise, this person. No, you're coming to the discussion of kasirus safar, often oft traveler. We did not come to that discussion yet. No, that's not the same thing. So those who have frequent travelers or oft travelers, kasirus safar, that's a different discussion.
Once a week, and he will do his first trip,
Yeah, first trip is Qasr, and the rest of the trips. Weekly basis, he'll pray for. Now, those people who are traveling for the sake of profession, now before I come to that, if you are muraddad, if you are undecided, undecided. Now, undecided, if you are undecided at a place, if you're undecided for 30 days in one location, this is where you have to pray full. But if you are undecided for 30, or 30 plus days, but in various locations. 7 days you were here, 9 days you were here, 8 days you were there, various, you're changing locations, but you undecided to travel where? In various locations. You have to pray Qasr. Okay? So please distinguish between the, and there's a third one also, which is important to discuss along with that. If you are, if you stay for less than 10 days, then again, less than 10 days, again, less than 10 days, up till 30, you have to pray Qasr. Up till 30 days, you can do that. 9 days, you make intention of staying someplace for 9 days, then you again make intention for 9 days, for again 8 days, 9 days, less than 10 days. Up till 30 days, you pray Qasr. 31st, the ruling will change.
Just to make sure I understand you properly, you're saying that if you plan to stay somewhere for a week, and at the end of that week, you decide to stay there for one more week, for that whole second week, you'll still be praying Qasr?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because your intention is to stay there for less than 10 days, 1 week, 7 days, less than 10 days. And then you make the intention, on the seventh day, you make the intention, I want to extend my stay here for another 7 days, another 1 week, which is also less than 10 days. Up till 30 days, you can do that. And when 30 days pass by, that's the deadline. 31st day, the ruling will change. Up till 30 days, you have to pray Qasr. Right, yeah, for 30th, up till 30th day, you'll pray Qasr. 31st day onwards, and 32nd and 34th, you'll pray full. Yeah, and if you are undecided for 30 days in one location, as long as you are in one location, not changing your location, you have to pray full. Here you are decided, you made the niyat. The difference is that you made the niyat of staying for 9 days or 8 days or 7 days, anything less than 10. Yeah, almost three times up till 30 days, yeah.
And then after 30 days?
You'll pray full. 31st day you'll pray full.
Even if you intend to travel after.
Yes, because you're only allowed to do that of that sort of extensions up till 30.
What is this undecided for 30 days?
Undecided about, you stay in a one place, in one location, but you are undecided whether I should travel or should not travel. You are still unsure. Some people are like this, unsure. You know, they for 30 days they are in one location, but they're unsure. They can be taken a guard of a personality. He's unsure when the personality wants to move somewhere. He's along with that personality. He's totally unsure whether he has to move this hour with that personality as a guard. He has to travel, or maybe after 3 days, after 11 days, he doesn't know at all. He's undecided.
But what is 30 days?
He stays undecided at one location for up till 30 days, he'll pray full.
But if he stays undecided, he'll pray full anyway? Because without limit of 30 days?
No. If it is undecided for 30 or 30 plus days, but in various locations, then it is qasr. In one location. So your question is that in one location, if he...
No limit.
No, yeah. After, on 31st day, you will pray qasr. If you... Yeah, up till 30 days. Here, you have to do full in 30 days. 31st day, because this place and location is not supposedly not your house, not your watan, where you made the niyat of being a watan. Or you made a niyat of being a watan, and not a place where you are intending to stay for 10 full days. But now you are 30 days limit have crossed, so you are undecided in one location, you were praying full. So now onwards, after 30 days, you will pray qasr. Yeah, so, yeah, if you are... That's if you are making a niyat of less than 10 days. You have to, in the first situation, you have to make the niyat and intention of staying for less than 10 days. Yes, less than 10 days of intention. It may include the 10th day as well, as long as the 10th day is not complete. For example, you arrived... Yeah, let me first come to your question. So you are undecided in a place where, in one location, and you're undecided for 30 days, obviously. So now the point is that, yes, you are undecided, I understand. But when you were traveling to that city, at that time of travel, did you make the intention of staying there for 30 days or more than 10 days? Or at that time of traveling when you left your house, you have the intention of less than 10 days. If you, at that time, you are traveling there undecided, this is where what will apply.
Undecided
at the time of travel. If at the time of leaving your watan, you had the niyat, I'll stay only for 9 days, then the first ruling will apply.
But if you don't know how long you're going to stay, you're going to pray for
it. Yes. 30 days at one location, as long as you are in one location. Undecided means you cannot fix the days in your niyat.
Right, so
30 days means that you continue to stay there and 30 days are passing by. Since day one, you are praying full.
Oh, okay.
because at the time you were leaving your house, you did not make the intention of staying there for 10 days or less than 10 days or more than 10 days. None of those intentions were made at the time leaving, you left your house.
So on 30th day, if you decided I'll leave in 7 days, you go
Kasar. Yeah, on 30th day, you decided I will stay here for 7 more days. Now from 31st day, you pray Kasar.
Why is 30 days relevant? Because I could decide that in 9 days.
Fine. If you decide in 9 days, then after decision, the niyat will apply. What niyat you have now after you decided? Your niyat is to stay less than 10 days, you'll start praying qasr. Your niyat is now to stay for more than 10 days, you'll pray full.
And what if you stay undecided on the 31st day?
31st day, undecided, that's the 30th is the limit. 31st day, you'll pray for qasr. Yeah, you are undecided, but that only allows you to keep that status for 30 days only.
That's the point of 30 days.
30 yeah. days is the point.
You took a kasar for another, if you
end up it usually doesn't happen like this. Usually it's not the case. But yes, if you are still undecided, you pray kasar.
Because that's an engineer and a boy fixing a plane. You know, it's a small project, long, we don't know.
Usually, you know, it's at the bracket time, like 1 month to 3 months. Usually, everyone knows. These are rare cases, but yes, if you are 31st day undecided, you'll pray qasr.
For like as long as it takes before you decide.
These are very important rulings. These three rulings are important to remember.
So do we know, this is maybe not a subject,
well,
do we know the hikmat behind these things, or we don't
know? No, I don't know. They are obviously hikmats. Yeah.
It's this hard to understand the rules.
Yeah. Some people try to say that the wisdom was because of the person gets tired, but this is definitely not the case. Even if you are not tired or exhausted, and they say, no, in old days they used to travel on camels and horses, they used to get tired. That's why Islam asked them to pray qasr, shortened prayer. No, that's not the reason. We don't know the real reason. We cannot say that's the reason. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.